What's up, Wildlings? You wanted the best, you got the best. The hottest podcast in Louisville, Kentucky, the Sean versus Wild podcast. And of course, I'm your host, per usual, the man, the myth, the Sean Thriller Smith, the guy putting rad back into talk radio. And not only is this show the hottest podcast in Louisville, Kentucky, for one fleeting moment last week, we were the number four hottest podcast in the United States when it comes to music podcasts. So the number four hottest music podcast in the U.S. And that's all because of you, the listener. I cannot thank you enough. And how exciting is this? I know we're going to get to number one. So just keep on doing what you're doing, guys. I appreciate it so, so much. Thank you for everything. All the visibility, everything, all the ratings, the reviews, the sharing, it is really coming in handy and really showing some great results. So that's awesome. Thank you so much. And today on the show, it's for you lovers and dreamers out there. It is a special Valentine's Day episode of the Sean vs. Wild podcast. We are keeping the tradition alive. Last year, Alyssa Mason stopped by the Smithsonian, and we were chatting all things Valentine's Day, the perfect gift, the not-so-perfect gift, all that sort of thing. And we handcrafted for you the ultimate Valentine's Day music playlist, which is still available on Spotify if you want to check it out. It's still relevant this year, whatever. It's the ultimate list, bro. You know, it's razor sharp. It's a lethal weapon. So this year, I decided I got to have her back. My holiday correspondent, Alyssa Mason's back here in the Smithsonian with me today. And speaking of holiday correspondence, because of the awesome feedback that I got on my Christmas episode, my sister Leslie popped into the Smithsonian with a bottle of wine that was really old and not that great, but we're going to sit down over a very suggestively, a very strange titled bottle of wine. And we're talking Valentine's Day again this year. And we are handcrafting for you this year a list of the quintessential top five romantic comedies. So if you want to watch a romantic comedy or you want to watch five romantic comedies, we got you covered. Everything you need to know, the quintessential list will be on this episode. So guys, it's going to be a good one. It's long. It's jam-packed, so I'm not going to talk too much, but I got to get the business out of the way. So make sure you go to audiophileinc.com and talk to Shane about getting your t-shirts printed. So if you got a podcast, a band, a company, a logo, something that you want on a t-shirt or some other sort of fabric, you know, whatever shape that might come in, you got to go to audiophileinc.com, talk to Shane, and he's going to give you the best deal in town, no matter what town you live in. And he's going to ship to all 50 nifty United States. So you go, you talk to Shane, tell him the Wild Man sent you. That's audiophileinc.com. And I get a lot of messages on the regular. Hey, who's your shirt guy? Hey, where do you get your merch printed from? That's the guy. So Shane at Audiophile Inc. will get you all set up. Also, big thanks to Audible. You guys know Audible. It's an Amazon company. They're handing out all these audiobooks. And because you're a listener of the Sean vs. Wild podcast, you will get a free 30-day trial of Audible with a complimentary audiobook. They have over 180,000 audiobooks for you to choose from. I love this service personally. I always got some autobiography or biography, as you guys have heard over the last few weeks, going. So very exciting. Definitely go sign up for that. And when you do, they're going to drop some money into my PayPal account to help me keep the lights on, and every little bit helps. This is the goal. The goal is to do this full time, okay? Or do it at least part time. I want to be semi-pro at least. So that's the goal, of course, going into 2018. And it's all anything you guys can do to support, I would definitely appreciate it. It's your support that got me to number four on the iTunes charts. And so if you like what you hear, of course, tell your friend, tell your Valentine's Day date about the show. When you guys are face-to-face at White Castle enjoying a romantic dinner, definitely say, hey, lover, I listen to a great podcast. It's called Sean vs. Wild. You should check it out also. But yeah, and also big thanks to Joe Brock. He boops the dials on this episode and every episode since episode one. And the guy works super hard. I cannot do the show without him. So some of that money that, I get from Audible, it will go to fund Joe's, I don't know, guitar buying addiction, I guess. I don't know. It's going to go to a great cause. But yeah, thank you guys so much, of course, for tuning in. And I'm trying to keep this fast, short, and sweet because we got a long episode today. So get your message hearts ready. Get your overstuffed sized plush Valentine's Day gorilla and put your headphones in and prepare to get wild. It's the Valentine's Day episode of the Sean vs. Wild podcast. Valentine's Day 2K18 brought to you today by Bitch, the wine that my sister brought over from 2008.
I've been saving it for a special occasion. Yeah. 10 years.
I like that. A decade in the making here.
Mm-hmm.
And when you popped that screw top off, it certainly smelled as if it had been sitting for about 10 years.
There wasn't even a cork involved. So no. They wanted, like, make it really easy for they the drinker. To have,
yes, as few obstacles in between you and the bitch.
You already are a bitch, probably, if you're buying this. Yeah. Wine. And if you had to deal with a quirk, the bitchness quirk. Level.
Oh, absolutely.
The quirk.
Or you're already so drunk that you don't care about how bad the wine tastes.
Exactly.
And you can't deal with a quirk because you're so drunk. So
I feel like
ease.
Because the back of the, I mean, bitch is on the label, and then the back label just says bitch. Over and over and over
right.
and over again.
Like 50 yeah. times.
It seems like it's more novelty than taste.
Than that they're drinkable.
Yeah.
yeah. Right.
This would be the perfect, you know, something for like a bachelorette party or in
absolutely.
This case, our Galentine's Day.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Perfect for Galentine's Day.
Yeah. So you might be thinking, Sean, what are you doing on Galentine's Day? Well, I don't know. It's just going to be a great time. So welcome to the Sean vs. Wild podcast. I'm here with my Valentine's Day correspondent, Alyssa Mason. You remember her from our Valentine's Day special last year.
Thanks for having me back.
Hey, you're welcome. And then also, too, thanks to all the positive response from my Christmas episode, my sister Leslie has joined us here at the Smithsonian as well. My holiday correspondent in general. Leslie, thanks for coming back on the show.
Thanks for the introduction.
Hey, no problem. You know, I haven't seen you since about Christmas. How have you
this
been?
This is true. Awesome. Awesomely sick for a long time.
Yes.
Got the old flu.
I feel
even
that.
Though I got the flu shot.
Yeah.
It's going around.
And, yeah, and I still have the old post-nasal drip.
Yeah, that's going to be awesome.
It's
really
an audio
yeah.
show.
I know, right? It's really sexy when I wake up in the morning, too.
Actually,
that's
I was
my favorite
sick,
part.
I think, or getting over a sickness the last time I was here, too.
Yeah.
So.
I was just sick last week. So
mm-hmm. now that we're all sick,
now we're in a room full of germs together. Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
Now that we're locked in.
Uh-huh. Door closed.
Door closed.
No air movement no. going on at all.
It's
cheers.
It's going to yeah. be rad, guys. We're going to see how our Valentine's Day pans out. And right off the bat, guys, you know, podcasts are not live so much, or at least mine is not live. And we're actually gathered here today on Super Bowl Sunday.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. To chat. Now, I know. You guys, I don't want to assume, but as far as I know, probably not following the NFL season this year.
No, I skipped out on the fantasy league this
right.
year.
Mm-hmm.
Haven't really been keeping up too much. No Tom Brady's in it again, I think, right?
The Patriots.
Yeah, I just yeah. assume that the Patriots play every year
yeah.
in the Super Bowl. So I'm like, hey, at least I got that part. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't
that's what
know.
I'm saying. Mm-hmm. I don't follow sports either. Sometimes
I just like the food.
Yeah, me too.
I just like
no
to watch
doubt.
The Super Bowl for, yeah, the pizza rolls,
mm-hmm.
my hungry
meatballs.
Guys.
The bagel bites.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Could you imagine if you went to a party that was just specifically pizza rolls and bagel bites, and they're like, all you did was just heat up food.
that actually sounds like my dream.
Wings.
Right. Uh-huh.
I'm in it for the wings, the
yep.
queso.
Mm-hmm. For sure. Buffalo
know.
Dip.
Yep, buffalo chicken dip,
yeah,
all that
meatballs.
Good stuff. That's
and
what I love about it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really into it for the halftime show, which Justin Timberlake will be doing the halftime show.
Mm-hmm.
And by the time you're listening to this, guys, you know that Justin Timberlake has already killed it.
He has,
on
for
the
sure.
halftime show.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think there'll be any exposed nipples on this one?
I think they might be sans nip
yeah,
this,
I think
this
so.
Time around.
They may have learned their lesson.
It's a little more in this day and age. It's
yeah.
like you're not going to get away with that anymore.
You
so.
Know, I still don't know what really happened with that whole thing.
I feel like I was like 11 and then I was yeah. watching it and something happened and like there was a nipple involved and it went right
gate.
Over my head. Yeah, it did not.
Right. My whole thing is I feel like they went the wrong way with it. I feel like they always played it off like it was a wardrobe malfunction. I'm like, well, how many wardrobe malfunctions happen where just the nipple comes out and then when it's out, there's like a decorative tribal sun
adorning it.
And there was exactly like the Velcro ripoff thing around. That wasn't a malfunction. That was clearly the intended function. To happen. Yeah, it was functioning perfectly.
This is the wardrobe's only function at this point. And guys, you nailed it. Mm-hmm. Do you guys hear the new JT record yet?
I haven't.
Guys, don't hate us because by the time that you've heard this, when we recorded it, it's only been out like 2 days. So,
mm-hmm. Okay. Right.
Got some new singles that were on YouTube. I've checked it out. It's going to be awesome. So.
I love JT though. I the last record, like album vinyl record that I bought was Future Sex Love Sounds.
Perfect.
And mm-hmm. I was walking out of the record store and there was like this like guy in his like late 50s, look Grateful Dead looking, you know, type of guy. And he's like, oh, you got a record. Please tell me what you got. Tell me. And I pulled it out and I was like, it's Justin Timberlake. And his face just dropped.
How could you?
Yeah. And like, I was like, you clearly haven't listened to Future Sex Love Sounds because it's amazing.
Yeah, because you're obviously in the past.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You haven't listened to the future because you're wearing a tie-dyed Grateful Dead t-shirt.
Yes, exactly. So I got shamed for buying it, but I'm proud of that purchase.
Yeah, I would be too. Love is in the air, guys, because it's Valentine's Day, and who doesn't love Justin Timberlake?
Really? So, I mean, that's a great segue. You know,
guys, mm-hmm. I certainly hope that he doesn't do anything crazy on this halftime show, and we're sitting here praising him.
And it turns out, I love him.
10 days into the future, right. He's in hot water. But yeah, so I'm joined here today by Alyssa and my sister Leslie, and we're all great buddies, and we like a lot of pop culture and great things like that. So I figured we are going to talk about Valentine's Day. Now, I know Alyssa and I had given some of our opinions on Valentine's Day last year. We are going to try to not so much rehash our conversation last year. We might reiterate at times, but we're also going to get Leslie's opinions on certain things here. And then we're going to play a really fun game. Hopefully it's really fun. With our favorite romantic comedies. I know we touched on some of our favorites last year, or we talked about some movies, but this one, we're going to give you the definitive list of romantic comedies you have to watch by the end of this podcast. So check it out. It's going to be 1 hour of, I don't know, hopefully great conversation.
Mm-hmm. It's always great conversation with us.
Yeah. Exactly. You know how it is. So it's 2018. And I almost said it was 2017, but now I had to remind myself.
You're so 2000 and late, dude. Over there.
Nice. So it's 2018. Let me ask you a question. What is romantic in 2018?
So far?
No, I'm just saying like...
Oh, what is romance in the 2018 world?
What is romance in this... you know, we've had a lot of... a lot of, you know, changes happen over the past few years, and especially over the roles, I feel like just over the roles and as far as like male and female and all that sort of thing, and what is love and what isn't and all that good sort of thing. So what is romance in 2018? What is romantic?
I mean, I feel like you have to have a phone involved. I don't know. I feel mm-hmm. like I'm not like in the dating game anymore. So I feel like it really is different now as far as like how people can be wooed mm-hmm. Versus back in my day when I was wooed.
Right.
Yeah, it was a little different.
When Brandon came a courting.
Yeah, on MySpace, you know.
Right.
Now it's like as far as like romance for like new couples.
That's tough.
That is tough.
Mm-hmm. Okay. A man holding the door for you, romantic or not?
That's not really
romantic. No, because, I mean, the homeless guy at the convenience store would hold the door for you. I mean, I think that's mm-hmm. just general politeness.
Someone buying dinner, romantic or not?
I don't really look at it as romantic.
Yeah, I mean, because you could technically go out with your friends and I could be like, mm-hmm. hey, I'm going to buy dinner. You. Yeah, and then next time they buy dinner. You know,
I'm just trying to go off stereotypes that were hot maybe 50 years ago.
I think they're really a lot the same, though. I think the idea of romance in pop culture really kind of like it's one of those things that stands the test of time. Like it doesn't really matter if you know, it's 2018 or 2000. It's like mm-hmm. romance is you know, buying, I don't really like flowers, but the whole thing of flowers and chocolates. Candles and chocolates. Mm-hmm. And I think now it's like kind of like a picture, it didn't happen kind of generation. Yes. You know what I mean? So if it's something that can be a good photo op, it's probably going to make your girl pretty happy.
That's so true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's got to be photogenic.
Yeah.
And I think, too, sometimes people get lost in, maybe it is because there's such a culture in having to be on your phone or, you know, meeting people that way that, like, I know for sure, like, when I talk to some girls, you know, that are younger than me, they're like, oh, he's so perfect because he's nice and he's respectful. And I'm like, okay, so these are basic qualities in that you would look for in any human being. So where's the awesomeness? Like, mm-hmm. this is just like the threshold. You know what I mean?
He's respectful. He has tattoos all over his face.
Only two teardrops though. Yeah. So it's not too bad.
It's not too shabby, mm-hmm. but yeah.
What do you think, Sean?
Yeah. You know, I don't know. I'm just as single as always and just as confused as always. Mm-hmm. So I just feel, you know, be a good person, be nice, be friendly. I don't try to play any games.
Yeah,
I'm not a game player. Right.
That's good. Yeah. That's a good thing, though.
Where it's like, oh, you got to be a jerk for like a little bit, and then you got to kick it into gear with like.
You don't have a fedora collection that you.
Exactly. You know. Now that I'm bald, I just embrace being bald. When I was balding, I had quite a hat collection.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't know. You know, I just feel like be a good person and try to be funny.
Mm-hmm. I think funny amongst all of us is probably like one of the, something we can all agree on is that. If you don't share my sense of humor, it's not going to last a long time.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, we have to have the same kind of sense of humor. You have to make me laugh. And that's like friends or romantically either, mm-hmm. but especially romantically, because if I'm spending all my time with you and cracking jokes left and right and you're not catching
bombs,
then, you know, I don't really see a future.
That's true.
I do have to take it back though. I did think of one romantic thing. If Adam were to come to me and say, you know what, we're going to spend the Sunday watching The Office all day long, that to me is romantic.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So many good relationships in The Office.
Yes.
Let me ask you this question. This is going to lead off to a question that I was thinking the other day. Who had the who's the better couple? Jim and Pam or Ross and Rachel?
I don't really. I'm more of a like. Not either one of those people.
Yeah, neither am I. Yeah, I thought for sure you were going to ask who had the best relationship in The Office.
And then that's Michael and Holly.
Oh, yeah. But see, I'm kind of team Dwight and Angela, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's very hard. But Michael and Holly from the jump, mm-hmm. for sure. Yeah, they were equally just ridiculous and
weirdo,
they found,
affectionate. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, just like super nerds together. Mm-hmm. Ross and Rachel, I mean, they did... You know, they were in like the on again, off again thing for so long, but I can't see them with anybody else but each other. But that still doesn't mean that they're a great couple,
right? Yeah,
just
we
like
we were on a break,
can't handle it.
Mm-hmm. I'm just curious who had the most iconic TV relationship. Oh. Everybody knows the best relationship on TV is Dan and Roseanne.
Oh, sure. for sure. Dan, the big football star.
Dan Connor, the big football star. I like watching Roseanne. I have the full... Cool brag. I have the full series.
No big deal.
NBD.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I got the full series, and I do like watching it because their dynamic is so great. Like, you can just tell that they genuinely liked being around each other, mm-hmm. in real life and on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And
for sure.
Yeah. I would say Dan and Roseanne, maybe the greatest couple on TV. Well, besides Lucy and Desi.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Lucy and Ricky would be top. I think out of like the Jim and Pam or Ross and Rachel, as far as like iconic, I really do think Jim and Pam, even though to me, I don't think their relationship is good. I didn't connect with it all that much, but I think like over pop culture wise of fans of The Office, like really, really look up to Jim and Pam as relationship goals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
I like The Office.
I don't know. We talked about it on the Christmas episode.
I just don't
episode.
Think I like it as much as everyone else.
As much as me and Leslie.
Yeah, yeah,
because
that's true.
We really like it.
We
a lot.
Do. In fact, I had to quote in when I sent Alyssa her Christmas card this year.
Yeah, I posted it on Instagram.
I didn't even sign anything like holiday. Well, it was holiday related, but nothing like, you know, good tidings or Christmas cheer. Mm-hmm. It was an Office quote.
Yeah, yeah. It was great.
Nice. Who's your favorite character on The Office?
Dwight.
That's tough because I love them all so much. But I'm going to have to say Kelly.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. My favorite character, the Nard Dog.
Oh, yeah. Of course.
Andy Bernard, mm-hmm. my absolute mm-hmm. favorite. He's the standout for me. So, yeah. Does The Office have like a Valentine's Day episode or something that I should be watching?
They have a couple mm-hmm. of Valentine's Day episodes that are pretty good.
The one where Jim and Pam get drunk at Valentine's Day lunch. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And yeah, I come back to The Office wasted. That one's a pretty good one.
Yep. And then there's I don't think it's the same one, where doesn't he get Pam, he gets her jewelry. They're supposed to do homemade gifts, but he ends up getting her jewelry because he's like, I couldn't make that. And she gets him a comic book, like about him as like Rick's terror on The Office or whatever.
So, nice.
Yeah. They're pretty good Valentine's Day episodes. Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm going to have to check it out. I'm going to have to give The Office another run.
I really think you should.
I watched it up to a certain point when it was on TV. And now that it's, you know, as old as this bitch wine, you know, I might not have to go revisit it. You know, I did like Parks and Rec. You know, I was really into Parks and Rec too. Which yep. Parks and Rec was a show that I didn't watch because I was watching The Office. I was like, this is like, just like The Office. Yeah, so I'm Office not going to watch
that's what I thought at first too. I was like, I'm not going to, I like The Office, you right. know, like what I'm not going to watch this, but it actually show. Is really good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then once I kind of cooled on The Office, like I stopped watching probably whenever, Jim and Pam got married. Oh, what was that flowing noise? Looks like someone's just, cracked.
This is a bitch 2008 red.
Yes.
Someone's cracked the bitch. but yeah, so I think Jim and Pam got married and, I just kind of stopped. Once Michael Scott left, I stopped watching it for sure.
And that's totally understandable.
So I need to kind of revisit it, I think. But then I did pick up on Parks and Rec and I enjoyed it quite a bit. So,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I like Ben and Leslie's relationship on Parks and Rec also. Mm-hmm.
I like totally Andy supportive. And April too.
Yes, Andy and April for sure.
The Cones of Dunshire. That's fantastic. Actually, you know how he's like really into the board game Settlers of Catan?
Mm-hmm.
Well, like the company that makes Settlers of Catan actually is making a Cones of Dunshire game.
They should, because they would make some money off that.
Yes, they would. Mm-hmm.
It's a genius. Mm-hmm. The Cones of Dunshire. And who doesn't like April and Andy?
Right. Yeah.
You can't perfect. Not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Ugh, they're great.
Snake juice. Yeah. So anyway, great. Yeah. So now that we've got all of our Office and Parks and Rec in.
I know, right? Listen, I will just find any excuse
welcome
to talk.
To our life yes. where all we talk about is shows that ended like 5 years ago.
Right. Yeah.
I knew it was coming. I just figured we'll just go ahead and get it out. Yeah,
and
the way.
There we go. And good. If you join our group and you can't follow along with any of the quotes or anything, you can't sit with us. That's right. Period.
Yes. Fantastic. What have you guys been watching anything else lately besides The Office? And
not really.
Oh so my gosh.
I feel like that's like the precedent. So like you said, like that's like something that's romantic. I feel like a lot of people can agree to that in this day and age. That's very 2018. I had to check my watch to see what year it was. That's very 2018.
Do you all watch This Is Us?
I haven't watched it. I heard it's a total cry fest.
It is, but it is also it? Speaking of romantic. It is. It also, I think, has definitely, if it hasn't already, is going to, like, shape a lot of, like, young women, I guess, as far as, like, what their ideal guy is. Because in this show, they, like, put the husband up on this, like, new, spoiler alert, he dies. I mean, we know in the beginning of the show.
Now we don't even have to watch it.
That he dies at some point. But, like, they build him up and put him up on this pedestal of, like, he's this great man and he does all the... And it's, like, very... Everything he does is romantic for his wife. Mm-hmm. And then he, like, dies tragically or whatever. Or whatever. You know?
Whatever. Or whatever. No big
it's
deal.
It's pretty cool. You should watch it. You're going to love it.
He dies or whatever, but it's, like, really good.
You're going to love this.
That's the best synopsis I've ever heard.
Yeah.
The
husband's great and all, but he dies and whatever. So it's pretty cool.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's pretty cool,
I think it's pretty romantic.
Yeah. Sounds great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just a nice Greek tragedy, modern day. You'll love it.
You know me.
Check it out. Is it on Netflix?
No, it's on like live TV now.
Okay.
It actually comes on tonight, right after the Super Bowl. Oh. It's like a special episode.
Wow.
Yeah.
A special episode. Maybe this is the one where he goes.
It is. Oh. Yeah. It is guys. The one. It's tragic.
Or whatever.
I can't wait.
Or whatever. Yeah. So a high, a very low, right after. They need something to really...
Right.
tear
bring
you down.
Everybody down.
Well, yeah. The Super Bowl is for you know, the sports people in the family, and then the people that really enjoy crying a lot, like I do. Like they can get theirs, you know, mm-hmm. kind of after the Super Bowl.
So
right. Eat a lot of food, eat my feelings, and then cry absolutely. My feelings afterward.
Nice. Mm-hmm. What is something that is not romantic anymore? Can you think what would be a situation where you might be like, yeah, this is not romantic? I know we talked last year, the oversized mm-hmm. stuffed mm-hmm. animal, which I feel is the best gift.
I know. Yeah.
I almost brought you one. I really did.
I really thought you were going to have one here yeah. out.
Sorry, guys. I just have a life-size Michael Jackson. To
that's close enough.
Yeah.
Overlook us.
Put like a pink feather boa on it, mm-hmm. and yeah. then that mm-hmm. would be totally appropriate for Valentine's Day.
What's the best Valentine's Day gift, in your opinion, Leslie?
Food.
Food?
Yeah, for sure food, because I love to eat.
Candies or actual
didn't
food?
You guys do like a fondue one time for Valentine's Day or something, like a chocolate fondue
no,
or something?
We did, like, we tried to be cheesy and coincide the years that we were celebrating with, like, restaurant names.
We tried to be cheesy, oh, so it was cool. actually a cheese fondue.
Okay, yeah,
sorry. Yeah. So for our 8-year anniversary, when we went to 8-Up.
Oh, cool.
And then our 9-year anniversary, we went to Over the Nine. That has since closed. But, yeah. I can't remember what we did for that's our 10-year cool. anniversary, though. Tin what? Roof.
Tin maybe. Roof, yeah. maybe. And then on 11, we're going to go to
7-Eleven for some hot dogs. Yeah.
You get a couple of beef franks.
You got to throw, you know, you got to give yourself a little bit of difference there, you know, yeah. levels. Of...
Well, yeah. I can't be bougie every year.
Exactly. Yeah. You took the words out of my mouth.
For our 11th year, we got to go to 7-Eleven.
It's slushy and rotating wieners on
yeah. I get, good Lord.
It is Valentine's Day after all.
Yes.
Day, after uh-huh. all. But yeah. Got to get all beef franks and spicy Cheetos.
Mm-hmm.
Flamin'
hot
Cheetos.
No doubt. Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, I can't really think of anything that's necessarily not romantic anymore these days. Because I feel like I said, most of the things like kind of stand the test of time as far as romance goes. For me personally, I don't really think like the getting the flowers and the chocolates on Valentine's Day is really, it's kind of played out.
It is
bit.
Totally played out.
You know,
out.
That's why mm-hmm. your idea, although I don't like oversized stuffed animals, it is different from the norm.
It is totally original. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's what you're going to get with me, guys or gals. Originality.
Or if it could not be like a giant bear, if it was a different animal yeah. that
yeah,
was
like
oversized.
Like if you love giraffes or if you love, yeah. you
I feel
know.
Like a purple gorilla
yes.
would be great. It's got to be pink or purple mm-hmm. or yellow or something.
Or get the fuck out. Yeah. Yeah.
Speaking of candy, though, because I was, you know, you said food, and I was like, candy. Mm-hmm. Do you have a favorite? Do you have a favorite Valentine's Day candy?
Reese's, hands down.
I was gonna say.
I was gonna say the Russell Stover, just like assorted.
Yeah.
Because it always has. I know this probably sounds gross to everybody out there, but the lemon stuffed. Like with chocolate over it. That's my favorite
gross.
One.
No, you're right. I'm just
disgusting.
I'm super into lemon stuff too.
Are you?
Yes. Like, okay.
So that's like the only time of year when you can get mm-hmm. the chocolate covered lemon stuff from Russell Stover. So
if I was in a relationship with you, I would get that for you because I know how important it is.
Would you buy like every box and then just make just me a whole mm-hmm. box of the
probably.
Chocolate lemon? Yeah. Yeah. See, that's romance
yeah.
right
yeah,
there.
That
is romantic.
It's like taking something basic like the chocolate thing and then like taking it to the next level.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then, you know, when you get the credit card statement and it's like, why did you spend like $750 at Walgreens?
Right.
For the Stouffers.
Right. Yeah. Could you have not waited Stouffers. For the day after Valentine's right. and spent $350 or $325? Yeah.
I feel like Russell Stover's also, they've got two big times of the year. Valentine's Day, obvi, but I feel like they're a heavy hitter around Christmas time.
Oh, for mm-hmm. sure.
The huge packs, not the heart-shaped, you know, mm-hmm. the huge squares that have like a treasure map to
yes.
figure out every,
where
yeah.
the lemon is.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Yeah. But Russell Stover's does come in hot with the heart-shaped mystery candies.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm also a total Reese'ist. And I have
yeah,
to
me
say,
too.
Reese's, if you put it in a heart, you put it in an egg, you put it in
put
a
it
tree.
Put it in a tree, put it in an Easter egg, yeah. put mm-hmm. it in a pumpkin.
A
I don't
cup,
care.
Sure.
Whatever. Uh-huh. I'm going to buy it and
yep.
I'm going to eat it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's just going to be like Taken. I will find you.
Yeah.
And I will eat you.
And I will eat you.
Exactly.
So.
For sure.
But I do feel, though, that the egg is the most superior of all the Reese's because there's way more peanut butter in it.
There is. For sure. Yeah. So,
you're not fooling me.
I'm always disappointed with the tree. I feel like the tree is the smallest.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah,
the pumpkin's all right.
Yeah.
Yeah. But they keep it in the same size packaging. But then when you open, it's like a Charlie Brown tree of Reese's.
It's not.
They're like, we'll take the egg, but we'll just like cut some triangles out of the sides of it.
Right.
To make it
throw
a tree.
Them away. Yeah. You don't need those. Oh, Alyssa's pouring me.
I know. I was hoping we'd
break it into the bitch.
I was trying not to
give the sound effect away. Thank you. Sean, do you want to hit this?
You want to hit this bitch?
You know, I'm good. Once I had to unscrew the top, I was like, oh, that's a potent aroma. I think I'll stick.
Once I saw it was from 2008 and it had a twist top, I was going to have to hard
pass
on that.
You obviously don't appreciate a good vintage.
Yeah, that's true. I was going to say I have to, I'd rather die. But I think we'd all be in agreement, though, when it comes to the least favorite candy.
Sorry.
What would you say the least favorite, your least favorite Valentine's Day candy would be?
Specifically Valentine's Day? Oh, the little hearts.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
Yeah, they're gross.
Yes.
I was going to say, we're definitely probably all in agreement of that.
They just remind me of Tums.
Yeah.
I feel like they should just really revamp. I feel like the hearts, the message hearts, they've always been around, and they revamped them, I feel, in the 90s, but mm-hmm. I don't think that they've revamped them really since then, because, like, you'll still get a heart that says, like, fax me, and I'm like,
right.
Good Lord.
Page me.
Like, fax you? You mean I gotta go to the fucking library? Pay somebody 15 cents?
Might as well send it over
cents?
On a dinosaur.
Right. Yeah.
Right on top of that rose.
Yeah. Carrier pigeon me. I'm just saying, dude. Like,
Pony Express me.
Fax me. Get out of here. No. Maybe that would be romantic. Like, oh my God, you sent me a fax.
I didn't even know I could get faxes.
I know.
Exactly.
I had a fax machine here the whole time.
Western Union me.
Yeah. Fax
that
me.
I'll take.
Right. I had to go to Kroger to get this message.
Yeah.
Of cash.
This cash message. I sent you a cash fax. Yeah, the only fax I'm going to get is the Carfax. You know what I'm saying? But say I faxed me. Yeah, I got to go to the library. Fax you. Right. What's
the
your
number?
Yeah. Do you have a fax machine? I don't think you do. Something tells me you don't. I can actually fax on this. I'm really into this new printer that I got. Yeah,
you
but I can't
obviously
fax on
are.
This. So if anybody does want to fax me, I'm not sure how that's going to happen. You can also email me. I feel like that's quicker. But, you know.
Text. Fax. How about text?
I'd rather you just send it in the mail.
Right.
You know,
yes.
I'd wait.
Certified
I really
letter.
Do like letters and stuff. Like, I love Christmas time because I get all the Christmas cards and, you know, all the pictures and everything.
You
but
get
like,
to open a letter that's not a bill.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. It is
exactly.
Nice. Like, to get, you know, letters or Valentine's and cards and
the
stuff.
The family Christmas letter.
Mm-hmm.
Or, yeah. Newsletter.
Mm-hmm.
Do you guys still buy Valentine's? I'm sure you probably don't.
I don't.
Mm-mm.
Well, I've been thinking about starting it back up because
you
I went to Aldi the other day, and you will never believe what type of Valentine's they had on sale for $1.
Transformers?
99 cents.
Ninja Turtles?
WWE.
Oh, man.
Called it.
It's just like Sasha Banks that says, you're the boss, Valentine. Or, you know, John Cena that's like, hustle, loyalty, and Valentine's Day. Or whatever
yeah, that's
it
great.
Is that John Cena's going to say about it.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Are you going to mail them out? Or?
You know, I'm just going to distribute them to my team at work.
Probably. Good.
Nice.
I like, too, that I noticed that the Valentine's Day boxes, they're like 16 Valentines included in this box. And I'm like, 16 Valentines? You'd have to buy two boxes just to give them out in your school.
Yeah, right? In your one class.
Yeah, your one class. Because, I mean, we always had like 30 kids in our class.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And it's like 16 Valentines? Who's got all the money for this?
And then do you remember, too, that when you were making out Valentine's, there was always that one kid in your class who was like the bully or the kid that nobody liked. And then you had to give them a Valentine's Day anyway. And then you would come to school and all your friends would be like, did you give so-and-so a Valentine? And you're like, yeah. And they're like, ooh, somebody loves fill in the blank.
Yeah.
Ooh. Yeah.
But you always give them. There's also people that you're like passive aggressively like. Give the Valentine that's either like not, you know,
the
if you
worst
had
a, Valentine.
If, yeah, the
yeah,
worst one in the
one.
Pack. You know, there's some in the pack that are like awesome, and there's some that you're like, eh.
You just give them like
yeah,
the
give them the eh.
You give them the one that just says happy Valentine's Day.
Exactly. Uh-huh.
Biff or whatever the bully's name
you
is.
You definitely don't give them the I choose you Valentine. That's true. Mm-hmm.
I was thinking about I choose you before you guys came over today, and I was like, man, I wonder if I say that if anybody would get it. Leslie, you really knocked it out of the park.
I did,
on that one.
Yes. I'm like, come on, that's the most iconic Valentine's Day Valentine, like classroom Valentine ever.
Yeah.
I choose you.
And if you don't know what I'm talking about, Alyssa, that's from The Simpsons.
Yeah. It's from The Simpsons, yes.
And, gosh, okay.
One of the kids got a Valentine that says I choose you from Lisa. Uh-huh. And it had a train on it.
Mm-hmm, that's cute. And I thought it had a train. I thought it might have been Thomas the Tank Engine or something. I wasn't sure what was going on.
Don't worry, he read a little too much into
it. He totally fell in love with her.
And it became a thing.
Mm-hmm.
So if you think
that is also like some mixed signals around Valentine's Day too, when it's like, I'm gonna give everybody a Valentine, but some people may take it a little bit more personally.
That's true.
Like when Andy gave Kelly the mixed message Valentine on The Office.
We're talking about The Office. I'm sorry.
I had to. I just had to see your face when I went way back again to The Office. Yeah.
This is an Office
episode.
Sean's
like, great.
Welcome to...
We should do an Office episode at some point.
Apparently, I'm going to have to beef up on my Office.
Yeah, you are.
You know what I'm saying?
Catch up.
Mm-hmm.
Catch up. Yeah, guys. So I wanted to play a game. I don't know how long it's going to take, but I feel that, you know, we talked about some of our favorite movies, and like I said earlier in the episode, I want to have a definitive list that of romantic comedies that you guys should check out. I love rom-coms. Alyssa loves rom-coms. I know Leslie loves rom-coms. So here's how the game works. Okay, I had everybody assemble their list in order of their favorite romantic comedies, top five. And what we're going to do is we're going to go around in a circle, clockwise, counterclockwise, who knows, okay? It's Valentine's Day.
Anything could happen.
Anything can happen here on the show. So, but we're going to go around and we're going to discuss our top five. Now, say my top five is actually someone's number three. We'll give a signal. Maybe we'll just say like, hold up, or something like that, you know? You will know. And if that's the case, we will just hold off and we'll discuss it later when it comes up on someone else's list later on. So, we're going to go around. We're going to talk about our favorites. We're going to have a little dialogue about each one. And then you will know which ones we like the best. And then at the end, we will argue to the death, Hunger Game style, over the top five and what is the definitive top five list just for you today, the listener. So fantastic. Now, first off, I'm going to start with some honorable mentions here. Okay.
Great.
And, you know, maybe if some of these made your list, I don't know if they did or not. And we're also going to do our least favorites. So, a definitive number one on the least favorite. So, we're going to do some honorable mentions here. And I'm going to go ahead. I'll just kick it off.
Mm-hmm.
Leslie, Alyssa, we'll go clockwise.
Okay.
You know, I know it's going to change it up
when it comes to,
That's true. So honorable mentions, my number one on my honorable mentions list, I felt like it didn't make it in my top five. It's probably one of the most popular romantic comedies. I enjoy it. I don't think I enjoyed it enough personally for it to be in my personal top five, When Harry Met Sally.
Yes, not in my top five either.
Not in mine either.
Mm-hmm.
I do enjoy it though.
Mm-hmm.
I'll have what she's having. What a great line.
That is, yes.
Rob
That's
Reiner.
Really the only thing I really remember about that movie.
Yeah, Rob Reiner can make a nice movie. You know what I'm saying? A nice heartfelt movie, you know? And When Harry Met Sally, it was great. It was romantic. It's nice. Meg Ryan.
You gotta love Meg Ryan and Tom Hanks. Like,
except this was Meg Ryan and Billy Crystal.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah,
but you
know,
Meg Ryan and Tom
I was thinking Sleepless in Seattle. I'm sorry. I get those mixed up a lot. Sleepless in Seattle and Harry Met Sally. Because I feel like they were.
And you've got
mail. And you've got mail. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Sorry.
But you got to love Meg Ryan, though.
America's Sweetheart.
In. Yeah.
Yeah.
So what's on your honorable mentions list?
My honorable mention.
I can't believe you didn't get your list out. Oh,
what
man.
Happened to my list? Okay.
Okay.
Let's see what I had. Down. I did.
It's on the list. Can't change it now.
Mm-mm. I had a Clueless on my honorable mentions list.
Clueless I love, but I didn't feel like it was really, I thought it was more of like a teen, like a high school teen comedy, like kind of like Mean Girls and like, you know, like mm-hmm. Heather's and yes. like stuff.
That's why she didn't make my list either.
In the end.
True. Yes.
And well, I can do, I have two honorable mentions.
Oh, I have.
I have like five.
Yeah, I have a bunch.
Okay, you're good.
What's on your honorable mentions list?
One of them is on my honorable mentions because I know it's going to be on your list, so I'm not even going to talk about it. The Wedding Singer. But my other...
Hold up.
That's right. Okay. So this is mine and we can discuss whatever because some of them are kind of what I think are a romantic comedy, but maybe other people might not. So Chasing Amy. Love nice. That. Her name's Alyssa in the movie. So it was like always one of my favorites. Yeah.
That's a great romantic comedy. It just in by definition. You know what I'm saying? Like that really is like a comedy that... Mm-hmm. It's crass as it can be. It's a comedy about a relationship.
And it's also like, I do like the movies, which you'll see on my list, that where maybe they don't end up together. And it's still like a good romantic comedy story, but like they, you know, it takes you somewhere different than that regular romantic comedy goes.
Yeah.
It adds the element of realism.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Instead of like, I don't know, fantasy or
storybook
or
ending.
Wish fulfillment.
Right.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Right. It's still a great story. Definitely you still get that satisfaction, but... yeah, so Chasing Amy, are we going around or should I?
You want to take two turns? Like I said,
we were going around in honorable mentions.
Right.
Okay. All right, go for it.
We can do whatever we want here.
Okay.
There is no
Perfect.
Rules this Valentine's
All right,
Day.
Great.
But you don't want to do two?
I mean, I have five.
Oh,
so
me too.
Okay.
Yeah. Go ahead. What's something else on your list?
So I also have My Best Friend's Wedding, which is an honorable mention.
Leslie and I saw that in the movie theater.
We did together.
Kids. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's really great. I don't have any other, I don't think, Julia Roberts movies on my top five, even though, which I know is like sacrilegious as far as rom-coms go, but My Best Friend's Wedding is probably my favorite one that she's in. There's just so many like good quotes and Cameron Diaz, and it's a really good movie.
It is.
Mm-hmm.
Something that's on my list, I don't think this is going to make it on anyone's list per se, but a great romantic comedy that I have is While You Were Sleeping.
Oh,
yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So.
Mm-hmm. That is Sandra Bullock.
Sandra Bullock,
yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And Peter Gallagher. And I hate Peter Gallagher's
eyebrows.
Yeah,
oh my God.
Insane. His eyebrows are next level. And then, of course, Bill Pullman, the unsung hero of 90s cinema.
Uh-huh.
The poor man's Bill Paxton.
Really was. And I get them confused all the time. Even though I know their face, like, totally different people.
Yeah,
but I
totally.
Can never...
That's what happens in rom-coms. Bill Pullman, Bill Paxton, and then Dermot Mulroney.
And Dylan McDermott.
It's like all rom-coms.
I still don't even know the difference between those two because they look too much alike.
They do.
That's what I don't like about them.
Dylan Ems.
They look too much alike. And I'm pretty sure Dermot Mulroney.
I can't even say that. Dermot
Mulroney.
Mulroney. Okay.
Dylan McDermott.
Is in
Steel Magnolias. Mm-hmm.
So we know him.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah. He's in The Miracle on 34th Street.
It's the only
Street.
Thing he's done, Steel Magnolias.
Yeah. Hey, American Horror Story. First one.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I always remember him. Like, I always have to picture people. I'm like, okay, he's the one that is in The Miracle on 34th Street remake.
Right.
Because he has such a huge part in that. I'm like, okay.
On the Hallmark Channel.
Yeah. And then Dermot Mulroney is Dirty Steve from Young Guns. And he's in My Best Friend's Wedding.
Yes.
So there you go. And I guess we can go through. I mean, I just have a couple other ones that made my list. Garden State.
Oh, yeah. I didn't even think about that
one. I didn't necessarily feel it was so much of a comedy as much as it was romantic.
Mm-hmm.
There was some comedic parts in it.
Romantic, quirky.
Yeah.
It's kind of like Eternal Sunshine. It's kind of like that, too, mm-hmm. where it's like, oh, it's like a love story, but yeah.
Yeah. I don't necessarily know so much comedy, but I feel like Garden State did set the tone for how to be hip
mm-hmm.
for the next 15 years or so.
Had a good soundtrack.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, exactly. Uh-huh. So Beauty and the Breakdown, if that wasn't on your MySpace, then you were probably a loser.
That's right.
So
definitely.
All right. Well, let's hop right in. Or did you have any, actually? Let's go through
my
last honorable mention.
My last honorable mention that I had was Crazy Stupid Love with Ryan Gosling and
Emma Stone.
Emma Stone. Uh-huh.
Nice. I've not seen that.
You haven't?
No,
it's
I haven't.
Steve Carell too,
and
right?
Steve Carell from The Office.
Oh, great. Is this just going to be like, okay, so I love this movie with
because everyone on our list.
Steve Carell. And I love this one.
No, that one is actually really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
The Hangover. Just right. With cast members from The Office.
Ed Helms. Yeah.
Ed Helms coming in hot. Rainn Wilson.
I promise I don't have any other Office-related material to talk about.
All right.
I have two more honorable mentions. I'm sorry. I got really into this
all
today.
Right, yeah.
Just to kind of, well, Sweet Home Alabama.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Reese Witherspoon. Is there, it's not Dylan McDermott or Dermot. No, it's McDreamy. McDreamy
yes.
is the guy that's in it. And there's like a poor man's Matthew McConaughey in it. I don't
know
his name.
I can't remember his name either. Yeah.
Matthew McConaughey.
Yeah.
All right, all right, all right.
And my last one of honorable mentions is Shallow Hal.
Oh, that's another great one. Because
I think that's like, it was a really, it's a good comedy, but it is a love story.
Yes.
And it has a great message.
It does.
Yeah. So
that's a great choice.
And who doesn't love Jack Black?
I know. So good.
He's a such an endearing character just all the time. I just watched him in Jumanji. He's
did
great
you?
Jumanji.
Ooh, I want to see that.
He just did an episode of Good Mythical Morning where he's just like singing, and I'm like, man, what a really nice guy. I would really like to hang out with you.
He Adam and I just watched a movie on Netflix where he was playing, and it's a true story where he's the Polka King.
Yeah, I've heard about this.
It was so good.
Was it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've
and
heard
how,
about it.
He had like a whole investment like scheme going on with people who loved his polka music and everything like that. And he doesn't die or whatever, but,
but
yeah.
So you probably won't like it.
Yeah.
But yeah. All right. Well, let's kick it off, guys.
Okay.
Shaun versus Wild official top five list in the making. We're going to kick it off. I want to kick it off with my number five. And my number five, you probably heard me talk about this on a different episode. I'm talking about the Christmas episode. Number five, Just Friends.
That is one of your all's favorites.
Yes.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So I know, you know, it's kind of a Christmas movie, but I feel it's definitely
Christmas-ish.
Christmas-ish, mm-hmm. But it's a great romantic comedy. I know we talked so much about it on the Christmas episode. Not a lot that we need to talk about here, but Ryan Reynolds.
Childhood friends or high school friends.
Yep. Ryan Reynolds and Amy Smart. Mm-hmm. Childhood friends. Ryan Reynolds is a great big fat person. As you, as Buffalo Bill from
Silence of the Lambs.
Silence of the Lambs would say.
Wait.
Was she a great big fat person? but yeah, so Ryan Reynolds in love with Amy Smart, and he is humiliated and goes off to Hollywood and becomes a big time player and mm-hmm. comes back for Christmas, not on his own volition because of happenstance and circumstance, and tries to win her over, and he's a big douchebag.
Right, total douche.
So, and then true love has to find a way, you know, or
through,
what have you.
Dusty Dinkelman.
Dusty. Simply Dusty.
Is there any other kind?
Is there any other kind? Whose ham did you slay?
Not the ham I just bought.
Yes. Perfect. So my number five, Just Friends.
That's like a good... I mean, I haven't seen that movie in a really long time. I wish I knew it better.
Great.
But yeah, that seems like a good like number five.
It's a great one.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Leslie, hit us with it.
My number five. I mean, totally going to be obvious. Pretty Woman.
Okay.
And romantic.
Hold up.
Uh-oh.
Wait.
we'll get to
there.
That later on
okay.
in
well,
the segment.
I was going to put Pretty Woman on my list somewhere, but I was like, no, it's really, it's just, you know, it isn't kind of an honorable mention for me, but
okay.
We'll get to it.
Yeah. I just feel like because I grew up watching it so much.
And I was like making my list and I was like, how many of these are going to include sex workers? I don't know. You know?
Maybe
you
all
know.
Of them. Yeah. Could happen.
Holy
great
shit.
Love story.
All right, well, then we're going to have to go on to a list of them.
Okay, all right. My number five is starring Drew Barrymore, Never Been Kissed.
Oh,
brah,
nice.
Brah, brah, brah.
Oh,
that's on your list? Okay,
that's my interjection sound.
All right, we'll go back to Shaun, though, for number four. Right.
Jeez, Josie Grossy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not Josie Grossy anymore.
That's right.
Oh my God. I feel like when you just got to talk out of the side. Well,
absolutely you do. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What other way are you Drew Barrymore than...
That's true. Oh, let's see. I was actually keeping some notes here as far as where we go. Number four, I guarantee you this is not on anyone's list. Love this movie. I've seen this movie 100,000 times. One of probably the most seen movies I've ever watched.
I might have this on my list.
Number four, Son-in-Law.
Not on my, not list, on my list, but I love that. So accurate. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes.
I love Son-in-Law. I've seen it a million times. I feel like that the movie has, you know, probably it came out in like 93, and I would say by November of 1993, it was on Showtime, and it just has never been off the air.
Right. That was your then. Showtime free trial mm-hmm. movie that yeah. they played. Mm-hmm. Eight times a day, mm-hmm. To show you how good it was.
And I feel like it's still on. Like, I know that they play it on CMT all the time.
It comes on every Thanksgiving Day. Have you noticed that?
No.
That is like a Thanksgiving Day staple, Son-in-Law.
It's going to be now mm-hmm. for
Well, why wouldn't it
for
be?
Because sure.
you just have to, you know, chill and munch on some grindage.
So I love that Chica's in it. Chica from Troop Beverly Hills.
Oh, yeah.
It's her, like, grown up, even though it was only, like, 4 years later from the movies. I don't know how she grew up that
Carla
much.
Cugino.
Yeah.
Who has just really blossomed into a total... she's just great.
Yeah. Oh, amazing. What was the new game movie she was on Netflix recently?
I'm not sure.
And it's a Stephen King movie. And
Gerald's Game.
Gerald's Game. Yes. Yeah, she was in that. It was really good.
The moment I realized that, like, I just was in love with this woman was when I saw her in Sin City. And she just killed it. Mm-hmm. She's great. Love Carla Cugino. Cugino? Yeah. Cugino.
I think it's I'm not Cugino.
Sure. It starts with a K sound or a mm-hmm. G sound.
And cuz and the Eno sound.
Yeah.
Yeah. Something like it.
Exactly. So if you're quoting me on this, guys, if you're sitting around like taking dictation, don't quote me on that. We'll figure out her last name. But yeah, she's great.
Son-in-Law, that's a really good
Becca
choice. Why did you, what do you love the most about that movie?
Well, you know, I just think that it really is a great comedy. Mm-hmm. Lane Smith as the father, fantastic. Of course, Pauly Shore. This was when the weasel was in full effect, mm-hmm. the height
MTV
of his career.
Mode. Uh-huh.
Yes, exactly. He had the long hair, you know.
Weasel.
He grew the dick, guzzled some Brit.
Got you some weasel wear.
Yeah. Why did you do that? And then that movie, too, it like had a special magic whenever I first saw it, because I was like, oh my gosh, this is Kelly Kapowski in a role that isn't Kelly Kapowski. Mm-hmm. Like, it's the first time, you know, because she wasn't on 90210 by then, and she wasn't doing all this other stuff. I was like, oh man, she's in this movie. And mm-hmm. she's not, you know, Tiffany Amber Thiessen is not Kelly Kapowski in this movie.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
Oh yeah.
So
bad girl.
And Steve, mm-hmm. what a bully.
Yeah.
I thought her boyfriend's name was Travis.
Travis. I said Steve. But yeah, it's Travis.
Together.
Travis.
What kind
Steve,
of fan
yeah.
are you?
I was thinking of Steve from 90210.
Oh.
Probably. Mm-hmm. But yeah.
Classic mix up.
Classic. Yeah. Travis. but yeah. So.
Cool. Hey,
good down home cooking people. Cool. Just make it happen. All right, Leslie, hit me.
Okay.
Number four.
Well, it was going to be Never Been Kissed, but...
So your number four is Never Been Kissed.
Uh-huh.
Now
wow.
it's time for us to talk about it.
Uh-huh. Okay.
This uh-huh. is the part in the segment where we talk about it. So what did you like about Never Been Kissed? Why did you put that on your list?
Well, you know, on my way over here, I was kind of thinking about it. I'm like, well, it's weird now because she kind of fell in love with her teacher, and her teacher kind of fell in love with her and being 17, but I think it was... I loved it because, you know, in high school...
It was all a misunderstanding.
In high school, she was nerdy, and she was Josie Grossy, and she had never, like, had her first real kiss before. And mm-hmm. then at the end of the movie, she's standing on the ball field mm-hmm. and, you know, counting down.
I have goosebumps now already.
Yeah, and, like, the time runs out, and everybody, like, you can see everybody's face in the audience, and they're just, like, so sad. And then he comes running out of, like, from under the bleachers. He just made it. He was going to move away, but gave her her first real kiss on the ball field.
And she, it's like a great story, not only a love story, but like it's a great story of redemption almost, where, you know, she was in high school. She never really had like a bad disposition or anything. She's always seemed like really optimistic and stuff, you know, even older. When she's in high school, she's got teased a lot and stuff. And like, I think everybody can kind of relate to, you know, feeling like they didn't fit in or something. So like someone else in this movie, Drew Barrymore, getting to quote unquote go back to high school and like relive that and be in the popular group and then fall in love. It's just a, it's a great story.
Yeah. Who wouldn't love to do that? Like just if you had the chance to go back and just kind of relive some of that stuff and all the things you would do differently and, you know,
for sure.
And then of course, you know, David Arquette's just like macking on high school chicks.
Yeah,
like,
that part's kind of creepy a little
bit.
He's
like, I went back to high school too, and I'm like captain of the baseball team.
Yeah, put me in, coach. He's getting a scholarship. Isn't that what he said? Like, dude, you're 35. Yeah. We're going to have a photo hut. Like,
no wonder you're so good at baseball. You are twice these children's age.
You know how to buy roids. Like, come on.
You're on the juice. You're the Mark McGuire of high school here. But yeah, so, and the common denominators. Who doesn't love the common denominators too? What a great team. Mathletes. All right. Alyssa, what is on your number four?
Oh, gosh. Okay. It is starring Mel Gibson and Helen Hunt, What Women Want.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Okay. One of my favorite rom-coms. Highly underrated.
For sure.
And there's a lot of things like I don't like Mel Gibson in, but for whatever reason, this movie I really love. Set in Chicago. I'm pretty sure it's in Chicago. You know, he's got the deal with his daughter and his ex-wife, and he's trying to, like, manage all that. And then he gets the gift of, like, hearing everything women think. And I just loved that movie ever, you know.
Right.
How accurate would you say that movie is to what women actually want and how they really think?
Well, to those women, pretty damn accurate, because he was hearing their literal thoughts.
He was literally
So I think it's pretty accurate. But, you know, that's just the kind of story of, like, the misogynistic, like, player boy, you know, getting a chance to see it from the women's side. You know, Marissa Tomei's in it. She's really great. They have, like, a sexual relationship, and she eventually is like, you know, he knows everything that I'm thinking, and everything's great, and he has to pretend like he's gay to her to, because he doesn't want to be with her because he wants to be with Helen Hunt. But she's like, please don't, I don't want to be crazy, just tell me. And he's like, I'm gay. And she's like, oh, thank God. You know, it's, the whole movie is really, really good. I like it.
These
a lot.
Are some great answers.
I know. These are great.
Yeah.
Some ones that I just never thought of.
Yeah,
or
me
thought
too.
About.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the thing. We're going to make the definitive
that's
list.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
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 All right.
Number three for me. The time has come to speak about The Wedding Singer.
Mm-hmm. That was one of our honorable mentions. I knew it was going to be on your list.
Yes. So number three on my list, The Wedding Singer, Robbie Hart.
Oh, the best.
I love that line. It's like, you know who I think sexy? Robbie Hart. And then she just like shoves a French fry in his mouth. He's like, that's a good
that
fry.
That movie is the most, has the best quotes. Best songs.
Yes.
Just, it's great.
I love everything about it. The fashion, obviously, the time frame, the setting, the soundtrack is fantastic. The characters are great.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Robbie Hart's such a likable guy, such a charismatic guy.
He is.
You're a bitch.
Put on my Van Halen t-shirt for your Jinx the Band.
And you know, I can never hear Holiday by Madonna on
Me
the radio
either.
Without just being like, Holiday. Celebrate.
I live in my sister's basement.
I can never not hear that now. It has ruined it for me. Not ruined it, but, you know.
He's losing his mind. And I'm reaping all the benefits.
It's great. I love so many good quotable moments in that movie. All the characters. I mean, it's just like boom, boom, boom. It just hits you. It's like really good comedic timing in there. But like the romance story of like Drew Barrymore being with the guy that's not right for her.
Julia Gulia.
And ended up getting, you know, getting with Robbie in the end.
Yes. Great. And one of my favorite, you know, you're talking about that scene, another Drew Barrymore movie, I've Never Been Kissed, whenever it's like, you know, you can feel like the palpable romance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Whenever, you know, she's on the ball field and he comes out. That's the way I feel whenever he plays the song and you actually see her reaction and she's like overwhelmed.
On the airplane.
On the airplane.
Sincere emotion, and she's happy, but she's also crying, and like that was like really cool. So, and then of course Billy Idol.
Well, of course,
chicken or fish. You can't talk to Billy Idol that way. So yeah,
it's they, like, were cones. They were cones. They were cones.
They'll rip your heart out of your ass. Sorry, they used to be much stronger.
The movie is, I knew you were going to, we've always connected on The Wedding Singer of loving it so much. So I thought it was going to be higher up on your list, to be honest.
I put it at number three.
Was it number three on mine?
I don't know. It's time for your number three.
Yeah. It was number three on mine.
Oh, okay. Snap.
Yeah. All right. So we matched.
Perfect.
Number three.
We matched. Yes. The Wedding Singer coming in hot here. And then Alyssa, what is your third choice?
Mine is one I feel like I've mentioned it to a lot of people and not a lot of people have seen it. It's called The Wedding Date.
The Wedding
Date? With J-Lo?
No, it has. I think it's The Wedding Planner.
Oh, okay. Sorry. There's so many.
Or Made in Manhattan or a lot of those J-Lo movies. But The Wedding Date is Deborah Messing and Dermot Mulroney.
And with the Dermots.
Yeah. Man. So it's a really great story.
You must be really sweet on Dermot Mulroney.
I kind of am. I think that's who it is. Yeah. So he's got the scar on his lip.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
I was going to say, he's the one with the scar on his lip.
Yeah.
But okay. I didn't want to sound insensitive. Yeah. It's
I just went for it.
Yeah. So she is going to her sister's wedding. So it's called The Wedding Date. She's going to her sister's wedding in London. Her family lives in London. She lives in New York, Deborah Messing. And she read this article in a magazine about hiring a male escort. So she hires this like male escort gigolo guy, and it's Dermot Mulroney, to just be her wedding date. That's it. Goes to London with her. It's his whole job. He's like super rich because apparently he's very good at his job, which you learn throughout the movie. He's like super romantic and
cool,
like a lot of like charisma. So they go to London and they do, you know, all the wedding stuff for her sister's wedding, and like drama ensues, whatever, blah, blah, blah. But it's like that thing of kind of like Pretty Woman where it's like starts off as a business transaction and then they actually kind of like do fall in love. So one of those like against the odds kind of.
So you can knock the second sex worker movie off your list.
Yeah, that's what I said. I have so many sex worker movies on.
I like too when you were like, when you were describing it and you accidentally touched the mics, like the bass dropped. Like, and you're like, yeah, dude, that is a key point of the movie. You were right.
It is really good. Like set in London, and Amy Adams is in it, and it has a lot of good, I mean, it's a really good rom-com where she doesn't want to be with him because she feels like it goes against her morals because he's a sex worker. Mm-hmm. But he, you know, they fall in love anyway. Great story.
Nice.
Fantastic.
I'm going to have to Netflix that
we'll
one.
We'll have to check out The Wedding Date.
The Wedding Date. Yes.
So, if you like Pretty Woman, you're going to love The Wedding Date. And speaking of that, my number two, Pretty Woman.
See, there we go.
Mm-hmm.
That was my number five.
Oh, yeah. So now the time has come for us to veg out and talk about Pretty Woman.
Okay, for
sure. Still like vegetables? Lay like broccoli? I always hated that line, but I do remember it. Wilsh, Bev, or what did she say?
Reege,
Bev,
Will.
Yes.
Send a fucking Rella. That's the most memorable line of the whole movie.
Room was bigger than the blue banana. Oh, man. Pretty Woman. Love this movie. Love the soundtrack specifically to this movie.
Opening song for sure.
Hashtag iconic. Yeah. Everything about the whole movie.
Yeah. Go West. King of Wishful Thinking. Fantastic. One of my all-time favorites, and it's because of this movie. The soundtrack is loaded with some awesome stuff. But again, Los Angeles in the early 90s, I feel like, is another kind of iconic time and place.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
For sure.
So the fashion.
It's a Lotus Esprit.
Yeah. This thing was cornered like it's on rails. What does that mean? You know, standard H.
Standard H.
And then, you know, again, it's just, you know, she's in need of rescuing and he rescues her right back.
Which, by the way, I feel like is the worst
It's a
line.
It's way to tie a bow on that movie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, come on. You could have done so much better.
Yeah.
Ending this movie as the last line.
But yeah, Julia Roberts is so, I don't know. She's just electric when she's on screen. And I love her hair, her big red curly hair.
Yes, her big red hair.
My dream.
Sure.
Wish I could do that. I could never pull it off, though.
But when she decided to straighten her hair and go blonde, I feel like she lost a little bit of the electricity that she had, a little of kind of like when Jennifer Grey got that nose job, and it was just like
people were like, "Who are you?"
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Mm-hmm. So, but you know,
big mistake, big, huge.
Yeah.
Yes, and I just love Viv. And what else is there to say about Pretty Woman? It's fantastic.
The dress in the beginning with it is very iconic as well.
For sure.
Like many a Halloween costume of many a lady in
your white tank top into your sky blue
circle.
Skirt.
Yes, uh-huh. With the circle in the middle and the I've got to run in my pantyhose. I'm not wearing pantyhose. You know, it's just like everything about the whole movie is iconic.
Close your mouth, dear.
My favorite line in Pretty Woman, I just love it whenever she just like goes, "Holy shit." It's so great. Over $3,000.
Yeah. I know, right?
6 days, uh-huh. Nights two, $3,000.
Has anyone done the math on that, though?
I can do 3,000
divided by...
Well, what's the... also, what year was it?
1991.
Okay.
$3,000.
Or 1991. It's early 90s.
How many days was it?
6 days.
6 days.
So, even just the amount of money of $3,000 in 1990...
yeah, you could have bought a car.
Yeah, here's a really good car. Look at inflation calculators just to see kind of like what money was then to what it is now.
How much money I'll have when my time machine,
yeah,
when my theory.
Well, it wouldn't actually be that much. It would only be like $5,600 now in 2017.
Okay. So
still a lot of money for 6 days. You know, almost $1,000 a day.
The equivalent of $1,000 a day.
Yeah.
So.
That doesn't seem like that much.
I like two.
Yeah, but he wasn't ugly either.
That's true.
You know.
Yeah.
And you know, if they're good looking, you're not going to get the top dollar. Yeah,
right. It's cheaper. Yeah.
If you're gross, you're going to have to pay more.
Yeah. $75 for you, and $395 for your friend.
Exactly. That's what we've all learned from Pretty Woman.
I think that's actually a line from Saving Silverman. I think that they try to pick up prostitutes for like a scheme that they have.
Another Jack Black.
Yeah.
Right.
And it's Steve Zahn and Jack Black. Yeah. And the lady was like, $35 for you and $175 for you. Like, deal. So anyway, Pretty Woman, number two on my list. Number two on yours?
Number two on mine, Mermaids.
Mermaids. Aww, making it on the list. We were just watching it earlier.
Just watching it. And
just, I'm your mother.
I'm your mother.
Fever.
Just a great, I was telling Alyssa because she hadn't seen it, a story about Cher and Winona Ryder and her, like, what is she, like 15, 16?
Yeah.
Christina Ricci's like six, maybe. Yeah. And they move from town to town whenever Cher or Mrs. Flax. Every time a boyfriend breaks up with her, she can't stand to stay in the same place. So they move everywhere. And then Winona Ryder gets, I guess, her first crush on...
And Winona Ryder's so quirky. It's a Jewish family, but she's just like a diehard Catholic.
Yeah, she wants to be a diehard Catholic.
And she's so conflicted and confused, not only with...
religion and being attracted and having her first crush on somebody... And
yeah, just
how does the story end up? That's what I want to know. I haven't seen this, so
it's
I'm like,
one
does
of those
she fall
movies
in love?
That don't end in like a storybook?
Okay,
kind of
like
romance.
Those movies, so I probably would really like that one.
And Bob Hoskins, very charismatic. I feel Bob Hoskins whenever he does an American accent,
mm-hmm.
But then sometimes when he's just like normal Bob Hoskins with a real thick British accent, I'm like, whatever.
Yeah, you know? I'll let it slide.
You're not even acting. Yeah.
So that jeez. Bob Hoskins is Cher's love interest.
Yes.
And they have their own problems too in the movie. But if you don't like the typical fairy tale, everybody ends up together ending, that is such a good movie.
That's a great choice. I'm definitely watching it.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's on Hulu right now.
Oh, it is?
Yes, and that's
go
where
home,
we're watching
put
it
put that
from.
On there. Yep.
Okay.
So, and also I just got a big, give a big shout out to whoever casted that movie, because Cher and her daughter being Winona Ryder and her other daughter being Christina Ricci.
It's like perfect.
That's perfect casting.
They all look like they would be family.
Yeah. So perfect. The perfect
and
cast.
Jake Ryan from Pretty in Pink is
Winona
Ryder's crush. I was surprised none of us had any like 16 Candles or Pretty in Pink. I really thought that would be like,
well,
or maybe it was
16 Candles, right? Yeah, we still have a number one.
Okay. All right. My bad.
NBD.
No big deal.
We'll get there.
Okay. All right. Alyssa, show us your number two.
All right. Well,
you asked for it.
That's right. My number two is another one of those unconventional don't end up together type of rom-coms, and it's The Breakup with Jennifer Aniston and Vince Vaughn.
Certainly sounds like the opposite of romance.
Yeah. Right, yes. But it is a really great romantic comedy. Anything for me personally with Vince Vaughn, I love. Right. Just like can't get enough of him. Think he's hilarious. So
it's Vince his delivery.
It's his. He has the beat. It's like you can tell when a joke's coming, and it's like bump and a bump and a bump, and there's the joke. You know, and you know it, and you can kind of see it coming. So it feels familiar. You know, I like him, and Jennifer Aniston is really, really good too. It has some other characters. John Favreau's in it, like one of my favorite. He's like Olivia Key, you know. He's like, make some calls tonight around 10. Okay. Like,
well, he's like, yeah, I'll call up some Polacks that don't give a shit about their life.
They don't have a goddamn future.
Yeah.
So that movie, they don't end up together. It does, which is really cool. It has like alternate endings if you have the DVD edition. There's like a couple different endings you could choose from.
There's like
the
an
movie,
ending where they
cool.
just pass each other on the street, right?
Yes, I think that's the main ending.
Okay, yeah.
And then there's like other alternate ones or whatever.
Come, come.
On the kick drum.
Come, come on the kick drum. Come, come. Yeah.
It's got never take it. What does he say? Is some kind of like toning thing out of a man's hand, like because he's like in an acapella. Yeah, yeah. Pitch pipe out of a man's hand. He's in the middle of a funky groove.
Yeah, I love that. Come, come.
Yes,
come, come.
Jon Favreau, by the way, I don't know if you know this, director of Iron Man, but also directed Elf.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah, that's a fun fact for you about Jon Favreau.
Oh,
but I do like The Breakup, and Vince Vaughn's delivery is great, especially in. Not to get off topic of The Breakup, but a great example of his delivery is in Wedding Crashers.
Which could have been a total rom-com on our list. Yeah.
And we'll never know because we have a few left.
Okay.
We have several ones left, so maybe it'll pop up. Guys. Hi-yo. But whenever he's just like, Owen Wilson's like, what's the matter? Is the pillow too soft? And he's like, yeah, it could have been the soft pillow. Could have been the nude gay art show. Or he's like, it could have been the soft
midnight
pillow.
Rape.
Could have been the midnight rape or the nude gay art show that took place in my room about 4 a.m.
It's Vince Vaughn's like delivery really gets you that comedy, but no matter who Vince Vaughn his love interest is in a movie, it's just always believable to me because he is a regular looking guy.
Right.
Yeah. He's not like some kind of
over
Brad
the top
Pitt,
Hollywood.
You know.
Yeah.
He's a regular guy. He's funny. He relies more on his like comedy and his like sweetness and stuff versus like I'm just a guy with, you know, looks and money or like whatever.
Yeah.
Like he really woos the girl. So in him and Jennifer Aniston in The Breakup, you love them as a couple. And then, you know, time takes its toll, I guess.
And then The Breakup.
And then The Breakup happens. Right. Spoiler alert.
All right, guys. We are down to our number one picks.
Burr, 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 burr. Everybody report to the dance floor.
Let's see what is going down here. All right, listeners, my number one romantic comedy of all time, The Other Sister.
Oh, yes. I love that movie.
How did I not
even believe we didn't
think
put that?
I know. Wow.
It's a great love story.
What a fantastic love story. The Other Sister, for anybody that has not seen it, basically it is about Juliette Lewis, who has a mental disorder, I guess you would say.
Disability.
Disability.
And
we never really find out what it is in the
movie.
What it
is per se. Yeah. So she has some sort of mental disability and she's coming home from her special school and she's moving back into the house that she grew up in with an overprotective mother and
Diane Keaton.
And a loving father, Tom Skerritt.
Perfect.
Who doesn't love Tom
Mom and
Skerritt.
Dad. That's my mom and dad in my brain. You know, they're perfect.
And then she just experiences life for the first time, really. You know, real life for the first time. And she makes mistakes and
she wants to go to community college.
She wants to go to community college. So
little did she know she was going to fall in love.
She's going to meet the love of her life. Daniel McMahon, Giovanni Ribisi's character. Giovanni Ribisi is a fantastic, very underrated actor.
Totally.
And he nails it.
Mm-hmm.
And really, once you watch, it's so funny because when you watch Juliette Lewis or Giovanni Ribisi in later movies, you can kind of
still see the characteristics of Carla Tate and Daniel McMahon. So, and they fall in love. They have a cute relationship. Things happen. Drama ensues.
There's a lot of drama in it, actually, between their relationship of, you know, it was kind of like, I feel like a risky thing as far as putting out the movie with these two disabled people and they fall in love. But I think it is really important to have movies out there that, you know, represent different types of love and different things, like issues that they could have. So these two, you know, quote unquote disabled people fall in love with each other and maybe their families don't want them to be together or, you know, whatever the issue is between the two. It's a really good love story.
But it's handled well because it's not so much that the families don't want them to be together. It's just like the families are protective or her family's protective. They're scared for her. They don't want to kind of let her off the...
They wonder how he's going to take care of her.
And it's just great. And they fall in love. And and the big scene for me in it is the one that overwhelms with palpable romance is just whenever he... fails his class and she's there. Yes. She passed.
And she was so excited that she passed. Yeah. And you kind of have that super happy moment for her and then it all goes away when,
and
when
then
he's
that's
devastated.
When they, and that's when I feel like they their relationship really takes off. And of course they're in Halloween costume.
Well
I forgot about that.
What a great movie. Mm-hmm.
She was a swan and he was the dog, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Don't worry, I'm house tree.
Up and down, not round and round.
I just love that he takes her on their first date to like the bus depot.
Tids and bits.
For free tids and bits. Yes. For lunch.
She's
like a
meatballs
snack.
Meatballs and
and like cocktail weenies and like cheese. And
so cute.
He loves to go to the bus station. He loves the bus.
That is it's
so
adorable.
So go see his marching bands.
But that really is, I think, like, as far as, like, a romantic comedy for everybody, like, no matter, everybody has certain things that they like that are about them, that if you're going to be in a relationship with somebody and you're going to fall in love with them, you're going to love those things that they love.
Yeah.
So, like, the fact that he loves the marching bands and the fact that, you know, they really do, it's a pure, innocent love story. That's great. So, I didn't even think of that one, Sean.
I know.
Awesome.
You are a genius.
Nailed it. All right, Leslie.
Okay. My number one is a movie that, Sean, you and I have seen probably. This is probably the most watched movie, I would say, between us growing up. Not cartoon-wise, but, and people don't maybe think of it as a romantic comedy, but it certainly is. My number one, Coming to America.
Oh, yes.
I love that movie.
Coming to America,
that's great.
Easily my favorite comedy of all time.
Mm-hmm. And Eddie Murphy.
Yep.
And Arsenio Hall.
Mm-hmm.
Leave Africa so he can come and find his queen to be.
Yeah.
Like in America.
She's your queen.
I'm like, we all had to harmonize on that
one. We can't.
Yeah. Yes. James Earl Jones is in it.
It's amazing.
Samuel Jackson.
Yep.
Dude.
Mm-hmm.
Dottie. MacDowell's.
MacDowell's.
And this is like the first movie, I think, where like Arsenio and Eddie Murphy are just taking on a bunch of different characters.
Yeah.
Different roles and stuff. Now, Eddie Murphy will become famous for doing that later on, but I love that movie.
Prince
so Akeem.
Good. Yes.
Is betrothed to a woman that he doesn't know, and it's been arranged by his family since birth. And he meets her
on his 21st birthday.
On his 21st birthday, they have a wedding. And, you know, they meet, they get married, or, well, they're about to get married, and he decides, hey, look, I want to be my own man. Allow me 40 days to go off and find my true bride.
Mm-hmm. And let me go to the University of the United States.
Yes.
To the University. Pretty small. We don't even have any basketball team.
Who was
find
that?
My bride.
Oh, just some guy I met in the restroom.
I had some pocket change.
That movie is, I watch it pretty regularly.
Do you?
It's not like, I mean, even though I guess technically it's like, there's snow, it's not Christmas though, is it?
No.
Doesn't it have a Christmas
it's
party
just winter.
Or something?
Winter in New York.
In New York.
Yeah, winter in New York, you know, kind of give you that feel, but it's just a great comedy, like, you know, romantic comedy, I guess, for any time of the year. Definitely. I didn't even think of that one to put that one on the list.
Oh, yeah.
Get off the island.
That's one of my favorite parts.
I love the Lord.
Oh my God.
Never know what is wrong. I don't want to be right.
Oh, yeah, man. Timeless comedy.
Yes,
for sure.
Sexy so. Chocolate. Fantastic. Oh, come to great. America.
This boy's good.
Damn good. That boy. Yeah, good and terrible.
Good and terrible.
Donations. Oh, man, I thought it was a trash. Fantastic.
That's great.
All right, Alyssa.
Did you write that one down?
I've written it down. Okay. It's on the list.
Okay.
I already know what it is.
Drum roll,
okay,
please.
So my number one favorite romantic comedy of all time. It's probably kind of basic, but I love How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days.
Oh, there you go.
Okay.
Ooh. Number one on the list.
It is an epic romantic comedy set in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
Matthew McConaughey.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's set in New York City. In New York City. And Spuds.
It's great. So the way I tried to come up with my number one was I love all of my top five. But my number one is if I had to live in a romantic comedy movie, this would be the one that would like really be the ultimate epitome. And Andy Anderson, How To Girl in How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days. Mm-hmm. Like, I just loved her character. I love that like she was like this like kind of like free spirit girl that, you know, she wasn't really interested in dating, but then she finds this guy, she has to write this story. It's just a great movie. Like, I love the story itself of both of them kind of having their own kind of mission that's thinking that they're gonna like pull one over.
I'm trying
on each
to remember
other.
What was his mission? He made a bet with his friends, right?
He made a bet with his boss.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So he made a bet with his boss because he is in marketing that he could make a woman fall in love with him in 10 days to sell these diamonds or whatever.
Oh, that's
so
right.
So he could make a woman fall in love with him in a week, and she could do all the things wrong to make a guy break up with her in a week. So they're each kind of have their own thing going about. But, you know, if you really do love somebody, which is what the story tells you, that you'll look past all those things and, like, really love each other.
Mm-hmm.
So I love that because she's a writer and she's in anything that's, like, set in New York automatically. Like, my heartstrings are like, oh, you know. But she's a writer. He's in marketing. They're, like, not supposed to be, you know, end up together, but they do. So it's a really great story.
There you go.
How mm-hmm. to Lose a Guy in 10
in
Days.
10 days.
Yep. 10 days.
Why 10?
Why 10?
7's not long enough, and we go to Preston 11. So.
We go to Preston 11. Fantastic. All right. Well, the tribe has spoken here. You have heard quite a few picks in a top five. Now, it's time for us, again, to argue and fight our way to the five definitive. Now, taking out all the redundancies, here mm-hmm. are the movies that we'll have to choose from. I'm going to start at the bottom of the list. And some of these, let's just go ahead and talk about them. Do you think this will make the top five? We can always just maybe agree to mm-hmm. not have them. But mm-hmm. number five, top of the list, Just Friends. Do you think that would make the top five, the ultimate top five list?
I don't know because it falls into other categories as well.
You know what, though? I feel like that would be on the top five Christmas list.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Romantic comedies.
Uh-huh.
Let's go ahead and just, we could probably agree that might not make the cut for the top five.
Okay.
Now we have a few on here we have Pretty Woman, Never Been Kissed, and The Wedding Singer that mm-hmm.
That we've all agreed on.
I'm thinking right? That's probably like a good top three.
Yeah.
To go off of those three, but maybe what order? I don't know.
Well, let's just say we'll put them in here. So okay. We'll have Pretty Woman, Wedding Singer, and Never Been Kissed. What about, let's say, What Women Want, The Wedding Date, Mermaids, The Breakup, The Other Sister, Coming to America.
Gosh, those are all so good.
And How to Lose a Guy.
They are. I definitely think that The Other Sister has to be on there mm-hmm. because Sean mentioned it and we mm-hmm. both like.
We, yeah, I love
our,
that movie. Can't believe yes, I didn't even think of it, but it's a great love story. Either. Yeah, mm-hmm. definitely in top five.
Yeah, I love that movie. Obviously, it's my number one. It's Son-in-Law also.
Oh, we forgot about Son-in-Law. Uh-huh.
Yeah, so that's what we're basically left with here. Once we've taken those out, we've got Son-in-Law, What Women Want, The Wedding Date, Mermaids, The Breakup, Coming to America, and How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days.
Well, we really only have two spots left to fill, right?
We have one spot left to fill.
We have one spot left to fill.
Wow.
I was going to go with The Breakup.
Yeah, I like The Breakup.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I think that's good for anybody, because even if you're in love or you've like gone through a breakup and you're not, you know, currently in love, mm-hmm. it's still a good story that appeals to everybody.
Yeah.
So.
Gotcha.
And it has alternate endings mm-hmm. too.
Fantastic. So.
Can't be.
And it's got come. come
exactly.
And then let us now fight over what order does this need to go into? Pretty Woman, Wedding Singer, Never Been Kissed, The Other Sister, and The Breakup.
Oh gosh, they're all so great.
I know. They are so good.
I'm thinking Pretty Woman probably has to be number one. I think it's like the most iconic.
I would say
in pop culture.
Iconic, yes.
Yeah.
Would you say that would go over The Other Sister?
I would think that Pretty Woman would be number five, only because it's been there for so long. Everybody knows it.
Okay.
You know,
and you think
that makes sense.
Pretty Woman would be over, say, The Breakup or The Wedding Singer?
No. I would say Pretty Woman would need to be number five.
Yeah. That makes more sense, because mm-hmm. it's one of those things where no matter what, it stands the test of time. It is a good romantic comedy. Everybody knows it. Number five, solid.
Mm-hmm. All right. Number four. What sits at number four? We have The Breakup, Never Been Kissed, The Wedding Singer, and
The Other Sister.
And The Other Sister.
I think maybe Never Been Kissed.
Yeah, I was going to say that too.
That's what I was thinking
Never
for number
kissed.
Four.
Uh-huh.
Good good love story.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, okay. We're getting there.
Number three for me would be The Breakup, but that's just me.
Yeah, we don't want to put it too far up, because it was more so me and Leslie really liked it more than I think you did. Uh-huh. So.
Well, I mean, I did like The Breakup, but as far as a romantic comedy, it's almost like it is romantic, but also too, it's got a whole, it's got the whole breakup. It kind of shies away from your typical rom-com. So
yeah, it's going to bring you down to earth a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll put that at number three. And now we have to decide The Wedding Singer or The Other Sister. What makes number one? What makes number two?
All right. If I can, this is my pitch.
Okay.
Okay. I think I love them both. Wedding Singer was on my honorable mentions. Didn't even mm-hmm. think about The Other Sister. I think The Wedding Singer should be number one and The Other Sister number two. Only because as far as rom-coms go, I think that The Wedding Singer has more of the comedy and romance aspect to it than the other sister is drama, romance, and comedy too.
Yes, that's true. Mm-hmm.
But it's a little bit more of a serious story mm-hmm. than the wedding singer hits every single mark that you can hit for a rom-com.
I would have to totally agree with that.
Great actors, great cameos, you know, like mm-hmm. everything in The Wedding Singer songs, it's all. If you have John Lovitz in your movie.
Yeah. We didn't even mention George and his band.
The crowd's really turning on George.
Just start it again. Yeah.
Do you shut up? You suck.
Is that Alexis Arquette?
Alexis Arquette. Yes.
Okay, that's what I thought. Okay.
So, guys.
R.I.P.
Boom, people. It is top five romantic comedies. It's taken us a while, but we have gotten there. So number five on our list, Pretty Woman, Julia Roberts, Richard Gere. Number four, Never Been Kissed, of course, with Drew Barrymore as Josie Grossi mm-hmm. and David Arquette as the creepy brother. Number three, The Breakup, Vince Vaughn, Jennifer Aniston, Jon Favreau, and Fred Willard.
Is that Fred Willard?
No, it's not Fred Willard that
no,
plays.
No, it's the guy from Arrested Development.
Yes, sorry.
Michael Bluth. I can't think of his name. Bateman.
No, I was talking about who plays maybe? The cum on the kick drum.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. I don't know his name.
Yes. We'll just give the kick drum the honorable mention.
Yeah, we got it. Yes. Yeah, big shout out. Number two, The Other Sister. So big shout out to Juliette Lewis, Giovanni Ribisi, Tom Skerritt, Diane Keaton.
Mm-hmm.
And then number one, what is there to say? The Wedding Singer. Love this movie. And, of course, Adam Sandler, Drew Barrymore. Mm-hmm. Again, Melody from Hey Dude.
Right.
And that guy from every other Adam Sandler.
I loved her hair in The Wedding, like Melody from Hey Dude.
I like your bracelets. You look like Madonna. That's the point.
Yeah. I loved her hair. And I was like, is that really a perm? Yeah. Or like, was her hair actually that curly? But I'm sure it was a perm.
Three meatballs a lesson.
Oh my gosh. I forgot about that.
Yeah. She's like, yeah. squishing them all in his hand. Yeah.
Take a bite. That's my favorite part.
I just love the kids in that movie too. Like, yeah, they're like, you know, the husband. I can't think of who the actor is that plays it.
Dude, the husband's hair. The husband is insane.
Of his sister. What are they talking about? Going in the basement and pinching each other's nipples? Like,
Your sister, me and her used to be pretty wild. your sister, she would. She worked my nipples a little bit. Yeah. But his hair is absolutely insane.
She's like, you had your silk shirt unbuttoned. You look with your leather pants. Like, you look like David Lee Roth. Yeah, like, it's like, oh my God, girl, get it together.
Like David Lee Roth. Robbie Hart.
I live in my sister's basement. it's great.
That is the best.
It is. It really is the best rom-com
of all time. Mm-hmm.
The tribe has spoken. Mm-hmm. And guys, I know this episode's running a little long here, but just to wrap it up, our final installment here in this episode of this jam-packed Valentine's Day sode, the least favorite. Okay, we're going to end on a note for you to debate. So if you don't agree with our favorites or our least favorites, hit me up on Twitter, hit me up on SeanVersWild@gmail.com or on Facebook, and we'll argue about it. I will literally fucking argue with you.
Me too. About it. Me too. Don't care. Alyssa, me three.
And Leslie will as well. So
we'll just gang up on you. Pretty much. On
one. And I'm going to tell you why. You know? Yeah.
And allow me to retort. Okay.
Per my last email.
Yeah. As mentioned in my previous installment, in my previous email. Okay, so with our least favorite here, I was just checking the time here because we are running a little long. Let's go ahead and we won't necessarily do our honorable mentions. Let's just get right to the meat and the potatoes. My absolute least favorite, I can't say my absolute least favorite, but the one that I... to refer back to last year's Valentine's Day podcast, I was talking about a movie called League of Their Own, and I said, this is a movie, one of the movies where every time I watch it, I just wish it would end differently.
Yeah.
And it bums me out. And my number one pick for my least favorite, because of this exact reason, I wish it would have ended. I don't like the ending. Number one, Pretty in Pink.
So we did bring that up at some point.
Yeah,
we
did.
Okay. Uh-huh. It did.
And the reason why I picked Pretty in Pink is simply because, you know, she's trying to win over Blaine this whole movie. Ducky's there this whole time.
Uh-huh.
That loves her, wants to take care of her, and wants to be with her, and wants to be cool, and all that good sort of thing, and does everything that he can. And then, you know, when it comes to the prom, you know, he dresses up and he wants to take her out. And then he is dissed in one
he
of
got
the most
shit on.
Yeah.
He let's
in one
just
of the most
say it.
Crucial yeah. disses of 80s teen cinema.
Why were the 80s so harsh?
Well,
they
you know,
were.
Actually,
they were just like really mean.
Yeah. Well, Andrew McCarthy was so hot at the time that they actually the original ending is for her to end up with Ducky. And because Andrew McCarthy was like the heartthrob and stuff at the time, it tested very low with audiences. So they changed the ending to where she ends up with Andrew McCarthy for some reason. And then I felt like they tried to go back and maybe try to half-ass hint that like maybe Ducky would be gay or maybe Ducky was, you know, then they gave Ducky like that other woman to like be like, oh, hey, what's up, baby? Like the very last minute.
Right. Yeah. You know? And it didn't
but
make
I felt
any
like
sense.
It was slapdash because of that. And what a heartbreaker. I shouldn't say it's my least favorite, but I would say that's the most heartbreaking rom-com.
Yeah.
So that's why I made number one.
Right.
Leslie.
I think I'm going to get hated for my number one for sure. Because
like an elf that wants to be a diss.
So many people love this movie. And it comes out around Christmas. You know what I'm going to say. My most hated rom-com, I feel it's completely overrated. Alyssa's backing up.
It's coming out at Christmas?
Well,
I love all Christmas, so I'm
She's had plenty of bitch wine, so she's backing up like, bitch, I will
she's
slap you.
She's fueled up.
Love Actually.
Oh, no, I don't fight you on that
do
at
not
all.
Like it.
Did never I, liked it.
Never
I actually
liked
did
it.
Not.
The fact that the guy from The Walking Dead is a total dick to his best friend's wife, mm-hmm. simply because he has a crush on her, so somehow that's her fault
yeah.
to be a total asshole.
It's not.
Oh,
just
yeah.
kidding. Zig.
Yeah. So
it's not actually.
yeah. So he's a total dick to her. And then you got like the guy that cheats on his wife with the hot, like little secretary, and his wife's heart is broken because she thought she was getting the necklace, but mm-hmm. he got her the CDs instead.
The most heartbreaking scene yes, of a movie. Like, I don't like it at all.
And
I don't like the
little kid who like suddenly learns how to play drums. Like he's been doing it for 20 years. That mm-hmm. is like school's recital. And then,
what are you, Animal from the Muppets?
yeah, what the hell?
Yes,
where did this
I know.
Come from?
I mean, and that kid's probably like 25 years old, and he looks like he's 7 mm-hmm. in the movie too. It's totally unbelievable. Just everything is completely overrated about that movie, and I can't stand it.
Yep, agreed.
I'm not. Mm-hmm. I'm not a huge fan of it. I don't mind parts of it, but the part that I'm just like, why is this here? It's just the guy, you know, Tim from British Office.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Yeah,
Martin Freeman.
Mm-hmm.
His whole scenes where they're just like, I'm on set of a movie and we're going to have
right.
sex the whole time.
Yes.
And I was just like, really? Like,
and maybe make a connection while I'm pornoing you. I don't know. Yeah. yeah.
While we're fake doing
it. I just
it.
Don't get how people are obsessed with this movie.
Yeah.
Like, people really like Love Actually. It's one of their favorite rom-coms, and they just, every year at Christmas and Valentine's Day, I love it. I don't like it.
No.
It doesn't put me in a good mood.
It doesn't me either.
What a bummer.
Mm-mm. Yeah, it is it's a bummer.
I totally brought it down.
I question the person that really likes Love Actually. Like, I'm putting this out there right now.
I think if you
like Love Actually a lot, I kind of don't trust you a little bit.
Yeah.
We need to mm-hmm. have tweets about it.
Yeah.
We need to have a tweet fight.
Yeah. I feel like Miranda Kerr likes Love Actually.
I think I remember
her telling me she liked it once. So
she might not. I don't know. I don't want to put that out there.
Maybe it's people who really haven't seen it, and then there's just all this social media love about it. Mm-hmm. And they're like, oh my God, I totally love that. And it's like, you really?
And it's like British, so it kind of does like lose a little bit coming over here, yeah. I guess, you know?
And then how was that one girl that worked for, what was his name? Hugh something?
Hugh Grant,
yeah. And she's always like, oh, my boyfriend told me I was too fat. And I mean, she like weighs like a buck
like
10.
One
yeah,
pound.
I'm like, who's calling you fat? Like
Davey that's... Hogan. He was fat, real fat. He must have weighed around 180. One of my favorite lines from Stand By Me. And they just show him like his name is Lard Ass. And he's just like, he was fat, real fat. He must have weighed 180.
Yeah, crazy. yeah. yeah. I'm like, nobody's buying that lady. Yeah. Like,
Christian Bale weighs 180.
yeah. Sorry to break it.
but yeah. Alyssa, okay. What is your least favorite?
Well, I went a little differently as far as I don't have one least favorite. My least favorite
is... least favorite trilogy.
yeah. It is... anything with Hugh Grant. I don't like Hugh Grant at all.
You don't like the stumbling, mumbling?
Nope. None at all. No Notting Hill. No. Nothing with Hugh Grant. No, I don't know what else he's been in because I haven't watched
Love
it.
Actually.
Yeah.
Love
yeah.
Actually.
Well, I mean, uh-huh. yeah.
9
yeah.
months?
9 months.
9 months.
Maybe 9 months.
Was he uh-huh. in,
was he
in America's Sweetheart?
Funeral?
Four Weddings and a Funeral. He's in like, okay, I looked up before I came here today, like top 50 rom-coms on Cosmo and Vogue and like all the internet things to try to make sure my list was complete. I didn't mm-hmm. forget anything.
Right.
And so many of them were Hugh Grant movies that I was like, I don't even have a least favorite. It's just... any movie right. Hugh Grant has ever been in is my least favorite.
Yeah,
I don't
really
find
do not
him
like him. Endearing at
he's
all.
He's not attractive. He's not endearing. He's not sweet. In real life, he's not even a good person, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's like, I have nothing to enjoy any movie he's been in.
No.
So
I also am not a big Hugh Grant fan either. So.
I don't know who is. Honestly, I've never met anybody who's like, hey. You know who my favorite actor is? Hugh Grant.
if anybody no. out there is a huge Hugh Grant mark.
Please. Let me know, because am I missing something? Because I really
right.
don't like
I would
him.
Really like to have a sit down.
Yeah. yeah. I would like to know what you know.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe right. you can enlighten me.
Because we obviously don't.
Because yeah. I hate him.
So there you go, guys. This has been a...
We're going to end it on,
yeah. end it on that.
Some Hugh Grant hate.
Grant, fuck off.
Hashtag fuck Hugh Grant.
fuck you.
Fuck you.
But guys, this has been a jam-packed episode of the Sean vs. Wild podcast for Valentine's Day. Leslie, thank you so much for joining me. Alyssa, thank you so much for joining me. Do you have anything to say to the listeners out there?
I was just going to give my club.
Thanks, guys. Thanks, Sean, for having me on again for Valentine's Day. It's been a great tradition.
This will be a holiday thing. So we had a great Valentine's Day. It's time to finish off the bitch.
I think we have already.
I think we did finish the bitch.
Oh, my gosh.
Come here, hit this bitch.
It's just like... like there could be pickles floating in there. It's like just vinegar at this point.
It tasted a lot better as the bottle went down. Yeah,
it's like actually really good now.
We love it.
Yeah, I'm gonna see if I can find some bitch 08 specifically
right
now. I don't want the 2016. I want the 08.
I'm looking for a bitch sponsorship at this point.
Very hot. Yeah, I'm the spokesperson for bitch. But yeah, guys, thank you so much for joining me for another episode of Sean vs. Wild. If you like what you heard, please like, share, and subscribe across all of social media. It's on Spotify, it's on iTunes, it's on Stitcher, it's wherever you get your podcasts. Also, feel free to subscribe on YouTube. I don't have a lot of YouTube subscribers because I don't know how many people like to listen to their podcasts on YouTube.
Alyssa's polishing off the last I just wanted to hear dribble. The
dainty drop. The last drop of bitch.
You know me. Okay. I gotta get that.
And guys, don't forget the top five movies that you need to be checking out this Valentine's Day. Just to reiterate, number five, Pretty Woman. Number four, Never Been Kissed. Number three, The Breakup. Number two, The Other Sister. Number one, The Wedding Singer. And don't forget, fuck Hugh Grant. This has been the special Valentine's Day edition of the Sean vs. Wild podcast.